Talk a little bit of Colorado Avalanche. We're joined by the radio voice of the Avalanche, Mark Mosier. Mark, welcome back to the show. How you doing, sir?
Well, good to talk to you, gentlemen. How you doing tonight?
Well, we're doing great. It's been a very interesting offseason for the Avalanche, hasn't it? First off, how blindsided were you by the news that Patrick Waugh quit as head coach?
Yeah, Mark, I was pretty surprised. You know, it's just one of those things. I guess I would have been surprised even if it had happened in April or May or June before the draft. But the fact that it happened in the middle of August, I think, caught everybody by surprise. But, I guess that initial day and then maybe the next day, you're kind of trying to make sense of it a little bit. And you hear what Patrick says and Joe and so on. But then you move on right away. At least that's what I did, and started to think about the possibilities with this Avalanche team. And, again, I thought, you know, if you hire a coach, let's say you hired a new coach in April, May, or June anyway. I mean, he couldn't get his hands on his players until September. And so, you know, the training camp and so on and so forth, and he couldn't start implementing things and so on. So I look at it, they're going to find a good guy, and they're going to find a guy, I think, that is going to be, you know, really good for this young Avalanche club, a club that has a really good core on it, and a club that really is, I think, ready and set to kind of make that next leap coming up next season.
Now, the second a guy like Patrick Waugh steps away, I always find myself looking at the family tree, so to speak, of the guy in charge, Joe Sakic. And I was thinking, please, Joe, don't go old school on us and drag Bob Hartley back for an encore. Sure enough, we're hearing the short list likely includes Kevin Dineen and Bob Bugner, and there's that family tree, even if it was only for a couple of years as teammates in Colorado. Are you hearing the same things, that we're probably looking at Dineen or Bugner for this job?
Yeah, well, I of course, Robin, I've heard about, both those names, and of course, Bednar and a bunch of different guys. I look at Kevin, I mean, the only tie he really has, I guess, would be, you're right about that. But when you think of those guys, you don't think of them as Colorado Avalanche guys. I think when you think of Bob, that's what you think of. You think of a guy who won a Stanley Cup here as a head coach, but not as a guy that, you know, the other two guys certainly not as Colorado Avalanche type of guys, because they had long and productive careers in the National Hockey League as players with way other teams than the Colorado Avalanche. You know, certainly many, many more years and many more seasons. And in terms of coaching as well, I mean, they've been out and about and all around. So yep. I've heard the same names that you guys have heard, and I guess I'm just kind of waiting for it to come down the pike. I think that both, you know, from what talking to people around the league too, I mean, they're clearly both very highly thought of. I mean, Kevin's had a job in the league before, and I think did okay, the best he probably could down in Florida. And I've heard Bob's name, even independently of the Colorado Avalanche situation, yeah. I've heard Bob's name mentioned an awful lot. I mean, I think that he's one of those names. I'm sure you guys have heard it too, that one of those, you know, hot names in the coaching biz in the National Hockey League or anywhere else for that matter, is an up-and-comer. And a guy who clearly has been around the game an awfully long time. So the more I investigate both of those guys' coaching side, the more I guess I would be okay with either one of those guys.
Tyson Barrie signed a four-year deal with the Avalanche on July 31st, and then Patrick Waugh tendered his resignation on August 11th. Is that a coincidence, or are we reading too much into that?
I think it's probably too much into that, yeah, to be honest with you. I think this is something that Patrick probably had thought about even before the Tyson Barrie thing went down. And I think it's just one of those things where it was the sum of all parts for Patrick. At least that's what it feels like. I know he hasn't commented on it further, and the Avs certainly have not commented on it further. Joe's been busy trying to find somebody to come in and lead this hockey club. But I think it was just probably a sum of the parts, and probably something, as Patrick had said, maybe, you know, been thinking about for a while now, and Joe indicated that as well. To me, it seems like one of those things that perhaps, maybe it's been a long, long while, and maybe it's been kind of leading up to this particular point.
You know, it's interesting to me, and there's some other names out there. Travis Green's name has come up here and there. Lane Lambert, Scott Arneal, Bugner, Dineen. When you look at this club, coming off a coach like Patrick Waugh, do they need to go, good cop, bad cop here? Do they need to change things up? Did Patrick communicate effectively with the players he had, even if he was considered a bit old school? Or might they need a bit more of the guy who says, let's talk about this, fellas, as opposed to the old school guy who says my way or the highway.
Well, you know, Robin, it's interesting, too, because Patrick Waugh really was more of the former. He really was the guy that said, hey, let's talk about this,
yep,
and let's work it out as a team, and let, you know, as players. And you know, the coach always said at the time that, you know, the players were partners in all this. And Eric Johnson, once it went down, Eric Johnson indicated that he thought all the guys really enjoyed playing for Patrick Waugh, that they really enjoyed him as a coach. And maybe they need a little bad cop in there, too. Mm-hmm. I look at it this way. Whoever gets this team, they've got the core locked up under contract. I mean, McKinnon, Landeskog, Duchesne, Tyson Berry, as we talked about, Eric Johnson, Semyon Varlamov. And if, you know, while Duchesne and these guys may be young in terms of age, they're all still in their 20s, and Varley's just right up there. But at the same time, you know, they've been in the league for quite a while now. I mean, Matt Duchesne is going to be entering his eighth year in the National Hockey League. This will be his third head coach. Eric Johnson, Chad Moore, coming over from St. Louis. Gabe Landeskog, same kind of story. His third head coach is coming in here. So, you know, the team and Joe Sakic certainly has put their faith and their dollars toward those guys. And now, in today's National Hockey League, with the cap the way it is, you need those guys to come through. You need those guys to come and perform. And so, how will they react to a new guy? Exactly what do they need as a new guy? I think when I look at it, I look at a guy who needs to come in here and tighten things up, certainly, in their own end. The Avs just spent way too much time in their own end. Now, they weren't, they weren't overly concerned with, you know, some of the shots. I know the shot totals at times were glaring for people, but, you know, if they're coming from outside and somebody's banging away, you know, at the blue line, and you know, it's easily turned away, that's what they, nobody's concerned about that. It's the second, third opportunities, but quality scoring chances, and they want to cut down on all of that. But they also have some guys in the back end who are coming in. I mean, Chris Bigras, I think, is a terrific young prospect. He spent time with the Avs last year. Nikita Zadorov, whom they acquired in the Ryan O'Reilly deal, I think has all of the tools, and he's still only 21, to be a very good defenseman in the National Hockey League. And, of course, they signed Fedor Tuukka this offseason to maybe help out with that a little bit. But I think whoever comes in has got to be able to communicate with those guys on the back end and help grow their games and help integrate them into the National Hockey League and become effective and good defensemen in the NHL, because they've got talent, but they need somebody back there, I think, to shore up that defensive core a little bit, have the forwards help out, get them to buy in and so on, and start from that total position and work your way back the other way, because they've got speed, they've got a ton of skill up front. Nobody's concerned about that.
We're joined by Mark Mosier, the radio voice of the Colorado Avalanche. Mark, in your opinion, Joe Sakic, I believe this is his third or fourth offseason, kind of at the top of the Avalanche organization. If you had to give him a letter grade for the moves he have made, what letter grade would you give to Joe Sakic?
I think right now probably, oh God, it's a hard one for me, because they made, you know, when you have 112 points in your first season, it's very exciting, and people are very excited about that. And then you finish ninth the next 2 years, just out of the postseason, and that's a disappointing thing. But I guess you look at it a couple of ways. Getting your core locked up in this league is very difficult. And yes, Paul Stastny left for $7 million a year in St. Louis. That's totally fine. I mean, you take a gamble with a guy like that after that first season, and you know, you try to work out a deal. He can choose free agency, but, you know, and you're trying to do something that particular year, so you don't want to trade him and mess that up. I think he made the right move there. And if some team wants to pay Paul Stastny $7 million a year, then by God, go ahead and pay him. The Ryan O'Reilly thing is where it gets a little bit interesting to me, guys, and I know that Joe Sakic is taking heat for that. The Buffalo Sabres are paying him $7.5 million. He's a top 20 paid player in the league. Now, you can decipher out yourself where you think he belongs on that list. Does he belong in the top 20? Is he a top 20 player in the National Hockey League? I think the Avs got the best deal they possibly could for Ryan O'Reilly, and I would have done the same thing there too, to be quite honest with you. Not that he's not an effective player or has value, but at 7.5 per in today's salary cap era, I don't view Ryan O'Reilly as a top 20 player in the NHL, but no. The Buffalo Sabres paid him like that. So, you know, I look at it, you got your core locked up, and all those deals went, you know, outside of Tyson, but Tyson wanted to go to arbitration. Duchesne, McKinnon, Landeskog, Varley, John, and they all signed with ease, and they all were happy about it, and they all wanted to be in Colorado. And I think that's important. You got to get your core together in the NHL, and you've got to let your core grow. And it alludes to what I was talking to, you know, before, that the point that you've got your core, and you have to have those guys there. And if you believe in that core, and that core can be together for a long time and stay together and help lead the way a la Chicago Blackhawks and so on, then you're going to be in good shape. So I don't even know that I can give a letter grade on Joel right now. Certainly missing the past two postseasons hurts, but I think that the moves he's made in terms of locking guys up, getting those guys together, making them understand that they are going to be together and wanting to be together is half the battle.
Yeah, it's interesting, Mark. You referred to the 112-point season and then the two misses. When I look at this club today, now things can change between now and when they drop the puck, but I see this club splitting the difference between that 112-point season and the ninth-place clubs. I think this is a playoff club. Don't know that it's a 112-point club, but I see them in. Do you see it any differently?
You know, Robert, I only look at the Central Division, and to me it's just such a pain in the tail. It's just so difficult. I mean, I try to imagine who's going to be out. Is it going to be Chicago? Probably not.
No.
Nashville? Well, we know what they've done in the offseason with their big trade. You know, St. Louis is going to be there. Minnesota is likely going to be there. The Dallas Stars are going to be there. What's Winnipeg going to do? Is Line A going to come in here and light it up? I mean, the Central Division is just, to me, so darn mind-boggling with how good it is, and everybody just seems to be so strong. I think they have the players and the capability of being a playoff team because, you know, Varlamov, in the 112-point season, he worked a lot, and he had a phenomenal year. He needs help. If they can improve a little bit, you know, on the back end and give Varley a little bit more help between the pipes, and they've got Calvin Pickard now as the solid number two with this squad. Yep. And these guys can come through. I mean, listen, you can't have 50-point seasons out of your top guns. You need 60, 70, maybe an 80-point type of season out of some of, you know, one or two of your big guns. Then for sure, that's a playoff team. I mean, I truly, honestly believe that. They've got some dynamic guys in the back end. I mean, of course, I heard all about the folks in Edmonton and what they were thinking about Tyson Barrie, and a lot of it was correct. I mean, he's a dynamic offensive defenseman on the back end. Eric Johnson is a big workhorse back there. They've got, you know, the vets in a Beauchemin and a Fedor Tootin and guys of this nature. And so I think they've got pieces there certainly to contend for a playoff spot. And I think that Joe Sakic, again, when you're talking about locking that core up, you know, you put your faith in those guys. You believe that, hey, listen, guys, you guys are a playoff team. You guys have to lead the way. They've got some other nice components. I mean, they still have Jerome McGinley. You know, they still have some nice pieces, and understated Carl Soderberg, who will play in the World Cup for Sweden in the middle as well, in a free agent trade and a sign after last year. So, I mean, they've got some nice pieces and nice components. To me, the Central Division is always going to be an absolute battle, but, yeah, I believe this Avalanche team should be there.
And the last one for you, Mark, I appreciate your time. The Colorado Avalanche signed Edmonton native Ryan Stanton to a two-way deal this offseason. He's 27 years old. Is there room for him on that Avalanche blue line?
It looks a little difficult right now because it's a tight blue line right now. They seem to have the, you know, eight guys that they like, especially with the signing of, the signing of Tootin and Weirkosh as well. So I guess we'll see. I think anything can happen in training camp, and I think any coach who comes in here should have the opportunity to open things up and look at all of his guys and make an honest assessment on what he believes, you know, is best for his club out there on the ice. But again, you know, you talk about the back end for teams in the National Hockey League. The Avs have some quality back there. And again, Tootin's a big vet. I think Weirkosh probably needed some sort of a change out of Ottawa to see what he can do in a fresh environment. So we'll see. I can't wait to get to training camp. In all honesty, guys, the snow actually fell on top of Pikes Peak early this morning.
Wow.
Down here, down south in Colorado Springs, they had some snowfall.
Let's play hockey.
Yeah, that's what it tells me, Ron. That's what it tells me. Hey, listen, we're less than 30 days away from training camp. Let's get our butts there.
Mark, I appreciate your time. Thanks for this. Enjoy the rest of your summer, and we'll see you at the brand new rink when you roll into town this season.
God, I can't wait. I can't wait to see the new building. Listen, I love the old building. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I just can't believe how awesome this building is going to be. Can't wait to get there, guys. So thank you very much. I'll see you when we get to Edmonton.
Absolutely. Mark Mosier, the radio voice of the Colorado Avalanche.